for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now there's even more to love. The $1-$2-$3 dollar menu at your Alito McDonald's.
All right, Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com on this Saturday morning, the WRMJ Sports Line. Coach Jason Kirby in studio with us. He was born and raised in Philo, Illinois, went to Tolono Unity High School, coached at Bureau Valley, of course, was at Sherrard and Rock Ridge, and that's where most of our connection comes from as covering those Tiger teams. I think 4 years there, 3 years at Rock Ridge. A lot of good memories at those in those 7 years.
Some great games with WRMJ.
Yeah, no kidding.
Covering with you, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about it in the front office. Give me a couple. Give me a top memory at Sherrard and then a top memory at Rock Ridge. I know it's
Sherrard.
Yeah.
I remember you asking me. You did a Rock Falls game where I somehow talked the referees into giving me a touchdown. The Macomb game at Sherrard, big game. Oregon winning that game the year that we're talking about. And then that Newman game, that heartbreaking game, would have been a game that certainly stands out. Rock Ridge, boy, there were a bunch. Macomb with those animals that they had and us going down there and having
no chance to win. Brett Taylor, who's going to play in the NFL out of WIU, and then Nick Sievers, who got an offer at Iowa State. I mean, those dudes looked like NFL players back then. And the game at Rock, was the game in Macomb where probably his most impressive high school highlight ever. He hurdled the Rock Ridge offensive line, and they didn't throw a flag on.
No, they didn't. I think the officials were so shocked that he was able to do that, they just let it go.
Yeah, I mean, that was such an impressive highlight. And then some of our post game conversations were such poetry. And I remember everybody always told me about, I just got to get in the car and listen to Kirby after the game, or you got to play that interview back. And that's what I tell people about my love for this job, is the passion that people have in what they do and the emotion that they present, good or bad. I appreciate, because that's what sports is. Well, I'm not saying bad. I'm just saying, you know, the people don't like honesty sometimes. And honesty, if you have to say something negative, people don't like the honest assessment. Coach Zunkel was that way too sometimes, and I loved his post-game interview, honest. And they face the music.
Uh-huh.
They don't run away. They, like, well, I'm coming on after the game, and my favorite post-game conversation was at Macomb the 1 year where they scored 21 points in, like, a minute off the clock, where they score late, you don't recover a kickoff, they score right before the halftime. They score right before the halftime. They get the ball to start the third, and they return it for a touchdown on the opening kickoff. And the setup is two Macomb radio stations were broadcasting the game. I was in the middle of them, and you came up right after, and you put your headset on, turn your head around backwards, and put your head on the table. And I said, Coach, I don't know what to say, so I'll just take it away. And you go, you turn your head back toward me, and you go, Jim. I'm like, yeah. You go, that was a high speed come apart. I'm like, amen.
But it was.
That's what I like about sports, the emotion
and
of it.
It's impossible not to be that way when you're dealing with kids. You know, you get to see youngsters do something that they have a great deal of passion for, and they put an incredible amount of work in. And for a lot of those kids, it's the first time in their life where they've put forth a great deal of work and seen a result due to that. And whether that be a positive result or if things go wrong, you know, you're the person that gets to experience that with them. And, boy, the amount of emotion that you get to see and that you have within you due to the fact that you experienced that with them is special. And then you get to be on the radio right afterwards and have you ask questions about it, and you can't help but be honest, I suppose.
Yeah, and I enjoyed those 7 years so greatly. I loved covering those Rock Ridge teams you coached and the Sherrard teams, too. And I know you weren't there, but I thought one of the neatest stories that I've heard about you was at a pretty unbelievable moment. And it was when Rock Ridge had their welcome home basketball celebration, mm-hmm. when they finished state runner-up.
Mm-hmm.
And Toby Whiteman took to the podium. And his initial presentation that day was the backstory about how he got to Rock Ridge. And those people that don't know how Coach Whiteman got to Rock Ridge was Jason Kirby saying, hey, you know, you need to look at Rock Ridge. There's a job opening. You know, you and Kirby told me, or Whiteman told me the story the other night. Was how to join an Orin. He goes, he used to just freaking pester me, drove me nuts about, got to apply for this job, got to look at it. And he goes, finally, I looked at it, wanted to get my kids to a little bigger school. I was down at Abingdon. And he's like, it's one of the best decisions I ever made. So he told that whole story at the Rock Ridge, one of the high moments for Rock Ridge, the welcome home celebration. So what about that?
Toby's been a great friend of mine for a long time. That position came open. I just felt that he was a good fit, a great fit for that position. I felt that, you know, he's a great friend of mine. I wanted his kids to be in a great environment for them to grow up. I think that they feel that way now. Their kids are happy that they go to Rock Ridge and they have lifelong friends being involved there. And then for Toby professionally, I wanted him to get to experience what I felt was coming, and now everyone knows what came through there. And it he was the right guy at the right place, the right time, and I'm incredibly happy and forever will be incredibly happy for all the success that he's had there. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, I don't work there anymore, but there's only one person in America that loves Rock Ridge more than I do, and I don't even work there. I mean, outside of Glenn, I love that place. I got to be honest, I still have all of my gear from Rock Ridge in my closet. That place is a special place with special people that dearly, dearly love their school and their athletics.
Amen. I mean, I get that covering all their teams and their programs over the years. What do you feel about the culture of high school sports right now? Are we in a good place, you think?
I am.
You are, but I'm just talking about high school sports in general.
I got to be honest. Over here, in this part of the state, you know, I've been locked in over here for a while. And I'm not just building you up, Jim, but it's a big deal still here in this part of the state because of, you know, WRMJ and other stations like this that make high school sports important because people want to hear their name on the radio. People want to be involved in that. It's a big deal when WRMJ shows up in your gym on a Friday night, or the other radio stations for that matter. Our kids think that it's important to be involved in that, and the community members feel the same way. And when they do, high school sports are important. And when high school sports are important in your school district, then people want to be involved with your school district. If the community members want to be involved in your school district, you're going to have a strong school district, not just athletically, you're going to have one academically, because people feel a need to be involved with it. And when that happens, you have utopia. And that's the case on a number of places over here on this part of the state.
Well, great testimonial. But you know, the dire straits that a lot of these schools are in financially. Now, I'm not talking just about here. I'm just talking about education funding in general. Mm-hmm. I worry about sports being able to sustain themselves at the extra, you know, I'm talking about interscholastic sports. And I worry about having to resort to outside funding. And I get you have to have it with the booster clubs, but I just think having to rely more and more on outside sources, I think that can really present some problems. You see what I'm saying? I'm not talking about illegally making contributions. I'm just talking about, well, I'm donating this, so this should be the end result with a winning program, with who plays. Now, I'm not saying that happens everywhere, but I'm saying there is
people are going to think they have a voice in what
exactly
goes on then.
With the money that is, if you're relying on those outside sources to help fund things, then those people that provide it, not all of them, but some of them say, well, we should kind of have a voice in the decision making process, or we should have some strong arm in making that decision. I really do worry about that.
I can see where that's a possibility. In those situations, you have to hope you have a strong superintendent and school board that says thanks for the donation. You have a permanent seat in our gym. Don't think that you have a say in what's going on. And once again, that comes back to leadership. Thanks for your donation. We really appreciate it. Now go sit in the gym. You know, there are school districts that will have trouble with that, and then there are school districts with great leadership that won't blink an eye at such a thing, and they'll continue to be a powerhouse just simply because they have that great leadership, great infrastructure, passionate fan base that won't allow such things to happen.
Well, you've done some nice things already at West Central, right?
Well, we haven't gotten over the hump yet, football-wise, but we're pretty close. We're getting better.
Well, and I don't know how I can phrase this. I got to be careful. But I don't know if it's fair to say. I'm not going to say I was happy for you that you won at Pratt Memorial Field, but
I was pretty happy.
No, I know. Yeah, and
hope I can get out.
I'm not going to say happy, but I'm going to say I don't know how. I mean, to get a win here and try to turn the corner. To beat a program that's been on the top in the LTC to get that type of win, I dig that kind of the underdog type of situation. That it's one thing to say, guys, we can do this, you know, we can do this, we can compete at this level. It's another thing to say we did it.
I never have to again say we can do it. We did do it, you know, and to drive by that stadium every day on my way home. And under my breath, say cuss words because, wow, what a place! And to know in my own mind that was the bell cow that we had to somehow knock off in order to tell our kids that we can do anything within this conference. Yeah, I mean, that was a big deal at our place. That was a fun bus ride home. When you want to talk about the games that you've been a part of, I got to be 100% honest with you. 100% honest. One of the first things I did after that game was, where in the heck is Jim Taylor? I want to do an interview right now with Jim.
I was at the Sherrard, whoever they played that night, with Coach Munson. Hutton always gives me a hard time about what, because how our weeks are set up here. We cover every Sherrard, Rock Ridge, Orion, and Mirko game.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the coach on our post game, and then our Saturday morning in the football season, we have those four coaches on. So he said, "You're killing Munson having him come on, talk about that game, and then you force him to come on the next morning to talk about it, too." Scott Munson, though, you coach with him, coach the Brady Stromquist. I have the utmost respect for those
great
type
man.
Of guys.
Great
coach
man.
Munson's a good football dude, and they're going to make strides under him.
Sherrard will be back with Scott there.
Yeah. So, that's why when you look back at your times you had at Rock Ridge and Sherrard, you were surrounded with some pretty good people on your staff. And that's the other thing people don't realize is, you know, it's not about the head coach all the time, too. It's about having the right pieces of the puzzle on your staff. And you mentioned a guy like John McCormick. I mean, those type of dudes. And we know, you know, Bill Breeden, his impact he had with McCarty. You know, it takes a village, as they say, on the coaching staff to make headway in a sport like football.
Incredible the amount of impact that your assistant coaches have to have within your program in order for it to be successful. Scott Munson, great friend, incredible person, and just because of his integrity alone, they're going to win at Sherrard. Johnny Mack. All the guys that I've worked with over the course of time that have had a huge impact on us being successful. So many times the head coach gets all the credit. I asked Cully, how big a role did Tom have in that deal? You know, I mean, good gosh.
Man, there's no, and he's the first to give credit for those type of things. And Coach Corby said, it's a great guy. You know, a big outdoors guy. Mm-hmm. Right, love to fish. That's what you're at Firelight.
I'm ready for you guys to start having a Saturday morning 10-minute fishing segment.
You could host it.
I'm all for it. Because
you live at Fire Lake. That's why you're love over there, and you've maintained your residence there. And you tell a great story, and it was Coach Lowell, my brother-in-law, and I can't remember where we were at. We were having a conversation one day, and you were talking about what you do each week during football season. You like meal prep. You're such a trip, man. You like meal prep. I mean, this guy, man, like, do you say, like, five meals you have set out each week that you have pre-prepared? And then is it, like, an energy bar going?
It's all year. On Sunday.
This is so awesome. You need to listen to this, man, with a busy schedule. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I drive an hour and forth back to work every day, so that's 2 hours that I don't have that everyone else does. So I have to be efficient with my time. Because of that, I go grocery shopping on Sunday morning after Mass, and when that's done, I'll go home and cook my chicken on the grill.
Now you go to Milan High V, I assume?
Yep.
Oh, they're Milan a great proud WMJ sponsor. Thank you, bro.
buy everything for my week. Put it in containers. Label it. Well, the containers are labeled on what day, what meal each one goes to. Each morning, wake up, put that particular meal in my, or those three meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, in my lunchbox. Go down to school. The only meal I sit down for is lunch.
Don't mess with Kirby's container in the refrigerator at West Central in the teacher's lounge.
No, it's I have my own refrigerator in my office now that keeps people away from my stuff.
I thought you said something about an energy bar too, but no. Is that like maybe an in between a meal snack? I don't know.
Yeah, that's my 10 a.m.
All right.
Yeah, I'm a little. I have my ways that I'm set in.
All right. Is Illinois? Is the hashtag going to come through? The We Will Win thing. I know you're a longtime Illinois fan, grew up in Tolono Unity.
Dying. Oh, come on, Illini.
Can they do it, you think?
I love Underwood. I do. I think basketball-wise, as painful as this year is right now, I think we're moving in the right direction. I like it. He's got a toughness and just a tenacity that seems to fit the university. I don't know about football. I hope so. Man,
there's
I
just
so.
Been so many changes with the coaching in and out, and the transition's going to take a while again and again, resorting to a lot of kids next year.
I hope he wants to stay around, and I hope they allow him to. And then eventually, if things get moving in the right direction, then they stay in the right direction. You never know, though. Man, the Big Ten right now. Holy cow.
I know. And this is a perfect segue to end, because I appreciate your observation. You're a kid that grew up in Tolono Unity and one of the most noted basketball players, hometown kid, I think kind of resembles what went on in Lower Rock Island County with Brian Cardinal at Tolono Unity and what a tremendous small school, high school player he was. And people said, well, can a kid at that level compete at a major D1 level? He and his dad, Rod Cardinal, was the longtime trainer on the University of Illinois staff.
Great
man. He went to Purdue, and he always used to have his biggest games against Illinois, and he'd show emotion doing it, and always destroy. He was one of the most hated guys as an Illinois fan. I'm like, why does that guy just continually do that to us and then give us the fist pumps and give us the what for? And then you saw a portion of Ethan Happ at Rockridge. Is fair comparison or not, those type of kids?
Very similar in terms of their work ethic and their desire to be great. I saw a great deal of that in Ethan that I remember watching in Brian as Brian went not only through high school but then to Purdue and following him, of course, very closely. You know, Ethan's going to play in the NBA. It's going to be neat. Everybody's going to love it. But, yeah, there are a number of similarities between the two in terms of how they go about making themselves successful and their passion for where they came from. You know, it's really neat to see Ethan grasp how important it was for those people from Rock Ridge and Rock Island County to be over in Iowa City the other day and him to recognize that. It shows what type of person Ethan is.
Yeah, he's maintained those type of connections across the board, which is so awesome. And that's why it's so easy for a lot of us to take ownership in that. And that's the neat thing.
It's funny to watch that, actually.
And it's just so great. So, Kirby, man, you're the best, dude. I'm so glad you could come on and do this. I know it would be such an enlightening hour. I thought you brought up a lot of good points in looking forward to the West Central Heat in the fall.
Got to get you down there and do a game.
Well, I'm on the Scott Munson beat. They pay me the big dollars to cover that program now, so I'm with him. And this is the thing about conference affiliation that makes me mad. All right. Can I just preach to you a little bit about concert?
Go for it. But remember, I might say, Jim.
So I'm going to tell you, Kirby, shut up and listen. All right. So I told Munson this story, and I tell a lot of people this story about conference affiliation. And finally, in 2019, Sherrard and Rockridge are going to play again after 4 years. But that same year, in 2019, you know who Sherrard's not playing?
We're in.
Right. And they're in the same conference.
Mm-hmm. It's criminal.
They're not playing. Yeah, it's just, I hate that. It's so dumb. But that's not the story. So I'm at Peru St. Bede. Lovely place to do a game. That's awesome. An awesome place, isn't it?
Drive down
it's
the
like a
driveway.
Small college setting, and you need to play there in the fall when the leaves turn.
Heck yeah.
But this was like a summer, this was a mid-September, so it's still warm, so the leaves haven't really turned. So I'm setting up my equipment. And they have a school radio that does them, mm-hmm. and a town radio, LPO or whoever.
Used to be Lanny Slevis.
Yeah, that's right, legend. Legend status there. But the guy, I can't remember which station he was with, he's like, hey. Yeah, he goes, hey, he's like, what's Gerard's nickname? I'm like, dude, you're in the same conference. You don't know the nickname. I'm like, I told Munson, I said, I should say the Jets for the Winona Jets, but I didn't. But that's where we've come in conference affiliation. So that'd be like the Macomb radio guy ever asking me back in the day, hey, what's the Gerard nickname? I mean, come on. That's where we've come in conference affiliation.
Elder would be out of his skin.
Yeah. All right. Coach Kirby, thank you for the time. I really appreciate it, sir.
It's great being on. Thanks.
All right. Jason Kirby with us on this Saturday morning on the WRMJ Sports.
Sometimes life can feel like a never-ending to-do list. Figuring out what you're...